And now it's time for Queer Talk. And we've got a very special guest today for New Year's Eve. This is Jason Sean, media blogger, media critic, film critic, just critic of everything. And
I prefer the terminology media prophet, but
media
thank
prophet.
You.
Pull the microphone towards you a little bit. So it's closer to you. Perfect.
Better?
Much better.
Excellent.
So thank you for coming down to the show today to Queer Talk, produced by Joyce Arnold. And I want you to give us a wrap of all that is queer art in 2011.
Well, okay. Where to begin? First thing, I think what's been on all of our minds, George Michael is out of the hospital and alive and okay, and that's good, because I was terrified. I mean, that's like, we can't lose George.
Especially after this great music he's put out this year.
I don't know about the music he's put out this year, but I mean, like, he's certainly made a name for himself with, like, the tour, and he's got, like, the porn star boyfriend now. I mean, he's, like, he's out there, he's making awareness, so that's fine, you know.
I would just say, look up the cover he did of New Order this year.
Oh, that. Oh, you know, that's not even fair. It was for comic relief, so you have
it
to judge
it. It wasn't funny, though.
It was more like a Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of cringe humor.
Oh, okay. I it went over my head. I'm just too American that way, I guess. Oh. So
yeah. It's hard to say. It's like, first and foremost, like, since film was my area of expertise, the film Weekend is easily the best queer film of the past 20 years. It's now available on Netflix instant streaming. So, if you're hearing this, it's probably in your house. And it's just a phenomenal film. It was at the Nashville Film Festival this year, and it played briefly at Opry Mills during their benefit week for the film festival. So, I mean, it's gotten some exposure around it. Won Best Picture at the Nashville Film Festival this year. So, wow. But yeah, it's really good. It's a British film, and it's very subtle and intelligent, and I just can't recommend it enough.
What's the basic story behind it?
Two guys meet up, have a one night stand, and it sort of becomes something more over the course of a weekend. It's a gay before sunrise is how it was described to me initially, and I think it goes even further and does even more than that. But it's really something quite special.
Okay.
And then for some reason, there was a Benny Benassi single that marketed itself as the theme from it, which, no, not even close. There was nothing even close to that in there. And I'm just like, I understand marketing and all that, but this is weird. So maybe, yeah, no, there's stories and issues and boundaries and all of that. So who knows? Other really, really good stuff, along that line. It's not necessarily homosexual, but it is very queer. The film Certified Copy, it was Abbas Kiarostami, the Iranian director. It was his first, made in Iran film. It's got Juliette Binoche and opera singer William Shamel, and it's all about, like, weird permutations and relationships and stuff. It's weird, and I love it, and I think a lot of people would out there too. It's a unique experience that's also popped up this past week on Netflix Instant, so you can see it that way. I'm making it easy on you.
You don't have to drive to Russia to see a movie. Yeah.
Well, as opposed to Margaret, which was my favorite film of the year, which, you know, never showed here. It showed in Atlanta for 6 days, and it's been like this whole brouhaha at the end of the year because, like, the studio basically was trying to bury it.
Was it a bad movie or
no? It's a phenomenal film. It's the best film I've seen all year, but it's really messy and emotionally strange.
And there were
lawsuits behind it. It was shot in 2005. It stars Anna Paquin from way before True Blood, and it's got Matt Damon and Matthew Broderick and Jeanne Berlin and J. Smith Cameron and Jean Reno. I mean, it's a great cast and it's a phenomenal film, but it's literally been like batted back and forth between courtrooms and edit suites for the past 6 years, and it finally, you know, just sort of like gurgled out into like a 10-city engagement, and then it just disappeared. So it's become sort of the critical cause celebre thing to get people aware of it, you know, and I'm doing my best to do that. And it's a phenomenal film, and, you know, hopefully it will get some form of theatrical release, and if not, it'll be out on video some point this year. But it's really something special.
Okay.
And then the best thing, the best film experience I've had all year is the Prometheus trailer, which isn't coming out until June, but it's the prequel to Alien. Ridley Scott's doing it. Classy, elegant sci-fi. No stupid CGI foolishness. I mean, they built actual sets for it, so I can't wait. I mean, it's like, it's not just a trailer, it's a compulsion.
So you've YouTubed it at least 35 times.
YouTube nothing. No, you can download the HD trailer on iTunes. Not that I'm endorsing Mac products by any stretch of the imagination. But yeah, no, I mean, it really rewards detail, certainly. And talk about a compulsion. I know I've brought this up with you before, and you were just like, no, I haven't watched American Horror Story, which is sad, but it's definitely something you should catch up on, because it was by far... No other television show this year was as committed to crazy as that one. I mean, it's like Jessica Lange was like in full-on Southern drag queen mode. Like, I honestly expected the big reveal in the season finale was going to be that, like, that wasn't actually Jessica Lange, but it was like a really good drag queen who had been portraying Jessica Lange all season. But no, she owned it. It was quite something. And they're doing something interesting where, for their second season, they're going to have some of the actors back playing different parts, and it's going to be a completely different story. Which is interesting, because it definitely frees them up, and also because the show is from Ryan Murphy and Brian Falchuk, the guys who created Glee, you know, the perfect example of problems with the second season. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in this instance, they can just have first seasons all over again. So I'm fine with that. It's a crazy, crazy, insane show, and I can't begin to recommend it enough. Like, it starts out, it's terrible. And then it suddenly becomes so terrible you have to watch every week. And then all of a sudden you're just like, this show became good and I didn't even notice it happening. So,
okay.
Yeah, no. Carnivorous babies in the basement, mass murders everywhere. I mean, it's a really, really exceptional experience for anyone. My other big TV crusade of the year is Community. If we lose this show, then society will be for the worse. It's the best show on television. And
better than 30 Rock?
Yeah, no, 30 Rock's fun. 30 Rock is fun. It's got good writing. I mean, I know working on that show is like a pressure cooker, and they make it seem effortless, and it's always really funny. So I'm okay with that. And I'm very interested to see how they're going to handle the whole Tracy Morgan thing, because you know they'll address that, which is good. I mean, that's like good comedy is the best way to address social issues, I think. But yeah, no, NBC, like, they pulled Community mid-season to, like, I don't know, run some dog show outtakes or something or whatever. But yeah, no, it puts your positive mental energy towards Community, because it really deserves it. It's a phenomenal show. Tomorrow, those of y'all who have the BBC America and BBC Hookup, they're running the first film in the new season of Sherlock, which there's the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes films in the theaters with Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr., and that's all well and good. But the BBC Sherlock is phenomenal. And it's Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, and the first season was amazing, and it was just 3 90-minute films, and they're doing that again this season, and the first one runs tomorrow, so can't wait.
And speaking of BBC, BBC and Logo are both running the new AbFab.
Really?
And it's gonna be
I'd heard about it. I haven't seen it yet.
It's online, but they're actually going to show it here on American TV. I think it's next Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
I just read about it, but both BBC America and Logo are both running it.
Oh, well, that's good. I've heard it's very good. I've just like stayed back because I didn't want to like get my hopes up too high, because I have the utmost faith in them to, like, I mean, so much has happened in the trashy world of celebrities since the last series that I really feel like that they could find a way. Speaking of which, why is Kim Kardashian famous? Why am I even bringing her up? I mean, like, this is a woman who, like drove the media to a standstill point this year with a manufactured wedding. And I don't understand, like, what did she do? Like, I know she had the sex tape, and then, like, her family's everywhere, and her ex-stepfather was one of the OJ prosecutors or something. But, like, explain the Kardashians to me.
Well, we listen to manufactured pop and listen, mm-hmm. watch manufactured movies and watch manufactured books and manufactured news.
Uh-huh.
So how about manufactured people?
Yes, but here's the thing. Manufactured pop and films can produce pleasure. Manufactured news, not so much. Manufactured people, definitely not. I mean, I don't understand. Like, it seems to me that, like, if you have that much money and leisure time to be that, like... I'm going to backpedal on my word that I was about to use. But if you've got that much money, why do you have to have that much attention?
Well, it's not a matter of having money. Some people want fame for the sake of having fame. Mm-hmm. And it's just the culture we live in.
Think
about reality shows.
That's depressing as well.
I mean, one of my favorite shows is America's Next Top Model. Uh-huh. Have any successful models come out of that show? No, but it's about watching the competition and watching pretty people be tortured online.
That's really interesting because, if none of them have actually become top models, then I think that's some false advertising there. Has someone brought this up to Tyra?
it's gotten more and more satire as it's gone along, but it's total mind fluff. I think Kardashians, not that I condone or endorse them in any way, shape, or form, it's the same way. I mean, it's us as dumb Americans watching dumb TV, having our brains rotted, and it's just quicker and quicker.
I don't feel it. I don't get it. And I'm not trying to say that I'm better than reality TV, because I know for a fact that many, many millions more people get a lot more joy out of reality TV than out of anything I've ever written or said. But at the same time, I'm just sort of like, I don't get it. I mean, just like as what you put out into the world. It's a fascinating thing, and I'm sure somebody's written a graduate thesis about it.
I'll share this with you. I'm exploring a new thing in my life, being really into scent and fragrances. I have a new blog coming about it, and what I find is, just like in any other interest, be it wine or food, once you get really passionate about something, you get more and more advanced and specialized taste, and what commonly assuages your taste is no longer good enough for you anymore.
Uh-huh.
So you, as a film critic and a TV critic, you've watched so much good TV and so much good movies that the stuff average people enjoy isn't good enough for you anymore.
Oh, I don't necessarily know if that's true. I mean, Beavis and Butthead are back, and it's brilliant. I derive so much joy from that. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's like, has there ever been another show that's been gone for 14 years and then came back not only like just as good, but better than they were before?
Well, I kind of wish Daria will do that.
Yes. No, I do too. And it's that all the other old characters have been popping up slowly but surely. So I think that there is a possibility for that, because God knows, I wish there was something like Daria for like today's young women, you know, just something to say like, hey, you don't have to dress like a whore.
Yes, there is. It's called Lady Gaga.
That's true. I like her. And that, you know what? Okay. Now that we've had some months to look back on it, I think the whole Born This Way experience was just stunning. I mean, it was just like, it was all the country was talking about for a while. Then everybody's like, oh, this and this. And then Billboard had to change their rules. And it's just like, I mean, you know, like it has never left our conversation as a nation. And I love her for it. You know, I mean, she's an NYU girl. So I got her back for that. And I'm, you know, I just wish she would like take a week or two and just have a nap or something, you know. I always feel like she's out, you know, like designing something, or you know, like unleashing a new project, or like being birthed from some civil monuments or something. And I'm just like, you know, Gaga, please just, you know, have a glass of wine and take a nap for a couple days. It'll be okay.
Well, again, that's also the plight of someone who's creative in their soul. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you look around Nashville, the people who are hardcore musicians or hardcore artists, they're mm-hmm. always working, keeping themselves busy, doing something. Yeah. We just don't hear about it all the time.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. But it's just, I feel like everyone deserves a nap. Like, I don't care how creative you are, you're allowed to have a nap every now and then. music-wise, some great stuff. Like, probably the best, like, pure pop single is Neon Hitch's Get Over You. I mean, like, the first time I heard that, I was just like, okay, this is brilliant. And this conceivably could go over at U.S. No. Nothing goes over at U.S. radio anymore. I'm just sort of like, I'm sort of over it at this point. It's just really sad.
I will tell you one of my highlights of the year.
Uh-huh.
I was in Atlantic City for the DJ Expo.
Uh-huh.
And I met Neon Hitch. She was a really cool, quirky girl,
uh-huh.
as was Kerli, K-E-R-L-I,
uh-huh.
who is an amazing, gifted artist, Estonian chick, amazing.
Uh-huh.
And I took a picture of the two of them together,
uh-huh.
and they got close to each other, and their headpieces got stuck together. And so it took them a good 5-10 minutes to separate their headpieces from each other. And so, yeah, that was a highlight of the year.
You created an international dance pop incident and didn't even realize it at the time. But, another best album of the year is Christophe Willem, who is this amazing French singer. He like won the French equivalent of American Idol or Pop Idol or Nouvelle Pop. I forget what it is, but whatever the French equivalent of the Simon Cowell juggernaut, he won it in like 2005, 2006. And, you know, he put out this album, Prismaphonic, and it is just spectacular. He works with Richard X on it, with Kylie Minogue, Standard and Rowe. I mean, everybody who's anybody in contemporary pop is on this record, and it's amazing. And, you know, it was a big, big year for the Uvs, Sound of Arrows, Fear of Tigers, all of the, you know, like, vaguely Scandinavian, anthemic Euro energy things. Love that, love that.
You want to take a break and play one of the songs?
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. This is from the Sound of Arrows record. This song is called Longest Ever Dream, and I think it's pretty.
is the son of Arrows with Longest Ever Dream here on Queer Talk. Back to media prophet Jason Sean.
Hello.
So, what else is exciting you for the end of the year?
Oh God. Okay. Did you see Robin on SNL?
Yes.
Okay. I love that girl. She is awesome. She is like, it's everything. And like, it was so funny reading people responding to it. Just like, I don't know how to respond to this at all, which is, you know, the best thing a pop star could hope for. And then people were just like, oh, I don't like her lip syncing like that. And I was just like, no, it's like that. I find it fascinating because like a lot of times what people assume is lip syncing is just having like your backing vocals done because mm-hmm. Robin sings live, even when she's doing somersaults. And I was just like, no. There's a difference between having like your own harmonies, like pre-record. That's a whole different thing. So I was just like, you know, but it's okay because Robin takes the moral high ground yet again. And, you know, she ruled. I loved it.
Did people comment to you also about the choreography being non-choreography?
It's weird, but it's obvious that, you know, she moves from the heart. You know, she dances to the beat, as she said on her own album. But that made me so happy because, I mean, like, you know, that album's been out for over a year. And finally, you know, there's like nationwide exposure.
Because of the Grammy.
Oh, did she win?
She got nominated for Grammy for Body Talk Part 3, was nominated for Best Electronic Album. And I want to thank also, Clear Girlfriend was nominated for Best Dance Song. I can look it up really quickly if you want.
That's excellent. Well, good for her.
And I will just say, while we're talking about Best of the Year, I must say that I'm very happy with the Grammy nominations this year for Dance Electronica categories.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing embarrassing this year.
I mean, I will say that the Rihanna nomination's kind of embarrassing, but it's not offensive. Like, there's usually like one thing that makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Is it for We Found Love?
It's a nomination for Only Girl in the World as Best Remix Recording. And because it was released in September of last year, it could be nominated for last year when it won Best Dance Recording and nominated again this year for Best Remix Recording.
Well, that's silly. I mean, did they not hear We Found Love? I mean, it's like...
Deadlines. I mean, I don't think that was released until after October 1st, which is the cutoff or something like that.
Oh, that's weird. Because, I mean, that song, wow. I mean, like, if I could go back in time to, like, 2 years ago, just like, Calvin Harris is going to have the number one song of 2011, I'd just be like, no. Really?
In the U.S.? Really? Yeah, in the U.S.?
Like, I just, that would be, like, the kind of thing that, like, I hope he, like, made a bet with some friends, you know, just, like, sit hanging out with some friends, just like, I bet you that I will have a number one song. And they'd just be like, sure, Calvin. So, like, you know, I hope he just, like, got some... You know, like maybe someone will come by and like vacuum his apartment or something because he got that right.
I just checked on dancemusic.about.com and Robin, Call Your Girlfriend was up for best dance song and Body Talk Part 3 is up for best album.
Excellent. Well, that's good. I hope she wins some stuff. I love that girl.
And Skrillex, 5 Grammy noms, including best new artist overall. As, say what you want about dubstep. I think it's really cool that one of our guys is up there in a major category.
I'm very glad that electronic and dance music continues to make inroads and win over new minds. That said, my philosophy on dubstep is one record per hour. One dubstep record per hour to change things up and stuff. I'm fine with that. One of my favorite things this year, Jobot did a remix of A Question of Time for Depeche Mode's second remix compilation, and it's stunning. I mean, it's absolutely great, but the idea of like actually going to a dubstep night makes me want to die in the face. But you know what? That's just me. You know, I'm old and conservative in dance music terms. And if that's what the kids like, then more power to them. There's room for everything underneath the mirror ball or something that Tracy Thorn would have said to that effect.
Of course.
Two big compilations this year, neither of which I've actually managed to get a hold of, but both of which I can vouch for the quality of. Pet Shop Boys have a new B-sides compilation coming out, and you know nobody does B-sides like them. I mean, it's a microcosm history of dance music, like covering, you know, 15, 16 years. And then Phil Harding, who was the first primo engineer for PWL and Stock Aitken Waterman back in the day, put out a double disc compilation.
It's very good.
of some of his mixes, yeah, and I can't track it down and it's killing me, but everything on it is amazing. I mean, it's, if nothing else, it has an actual studio tape mastered version of the Murder mix of You Spin Me Round Like a Record by Dead or Alive, so that should count for something. And it's got his mix of Digging Your Scene by the Blow Monkeys, which is a great Balearic, like, 80s poolside margarita of a club mix. I love it, love it, love it. And, two awesome concerts coming up in February. For one, you got to go to Chicago, but Diamanda Galas is playing Chicago. It's the first time she's played the U.S. in two or three years, and it's the only show she has booked in the U.S. for all year. So if you love some Diamanda, and you should, she's playing in Chicago in February and playing here in Nashville at the Municipal Auditorium on February 12th. New edition without Bobby Brown, but with special guest El DeBarge.
It's like the Wendy Show exploded.
It's 80s pop R&B at its finest. Can you stand the rain? I don't know. Can you? Find out February 12th. I can't wait.
And Van Halen's back with David Lee Roth. I mean, the world's just turning around.
They?
Oh, yeah. They have an album coming and a tour coming also.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
And isn't it sad I know that? Because that's so out of my frame of reference.
Did your brother tell you about that? Or
no, I saw it online. I looked it up. No, if Iron Maiden got back together, that's what my brother would tell me.
Yeah.
But Van Halen,
well,
no. Yeah. We got about a minute and a half. What else do you want to talk about?
January and February at the Bell Court, their weekend classics are going to be a Marilyn Monroe retrospective. So, you know, that's glam. That's something. And get a feel for, like, her breadth of work as a performer. A really amazing foreign language film coming to Nashville in February called A Separation. It was my number two film of the year. It was about divorce, but it's also like about, you know, like basically what it's like to live in Iran. But the best thing about it is that, like, the censor board of Iran approved it because they thought it was like, you know, it was just like a, you know, here's how the decadent upper class and the devout religious lower class and how they're affecting one another. And that's totally not what it's about at all. But yay. But because, you know, Iran likes to lock up their directors. So the fact that a good film is not only getting out, but getting like the full support. It's called A Separation. It's coming in February. There was a new Darren Hayes album this year. It was really good.
It's coming out in the U.S.
It is?
Yeah.
Excellent. The Muppet movie was just delightful. You know, you should check it out. It's fun for the whole family. And that's family in all senses of the word. And, yeah. Last thing. Most important thing. Madonna's new song, Ew. And I don't bother, the Super Bowl thing doesn't bother me because Prince turned it out. I have no doubt that she can turn it out. But that new song, seriously, somebody needs to have an intervention with Madonna.
Okay. On that note, one last question for you.
Yes.
Have you chosen your New Year's Eve resolution?
I generally don't believe in resolutions because it's just setting yourself up for failure. I mean, like, yeah, if I'm gonna set a resolution, it's like, I'm not going to kill someone with a handgun this year. That's my New Year's resolution, because I can pretty much 100% guarantee that that's going to be the case.
Sounds good. Well, thank you. What's your blog address again?
You can find me online at rebirthoftheflesh.blogspot.com. And there's all sorts of year-end wrap-ups and things are there for your enjoyment.
Thank you very much. That was Queer Talk Today with Jason Sean, Media Prophet.